All right, a fine Friday afternoon in the city of Lagos, and you're on to the public square on 99.3 Nigeria Info. And together with Rotimi Sankore, we are going to take you through another power sector special with the Wole Soyinka Center. And we are going to do this as an investigative journalism and Rem Up public square special on your number one talk news and sports station. Today, we are going to be talking about infrastructure challenges facing Nigeria's power sector. And our resource person today is no one but one who's had vast experience in this field. He's done great work, and over the years, he's been a big voice in getting our power sector to where it should be. Dr. Sam Amadi is a former chairman, Nigeria Electricity Regulatory Commission. And he'll be speaking with us this afternoon on the public square. So great to have you, Dr. Amadi, join us this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Excellent. And I think we can begin the discussion straight away, Dr. Amadi. First and foremost, to get when you were in office and where we are today, miles apart. So, but you probably want to give us an idea of what it was then and whether any strides have been made in the country's power sector infrastructure from your point of view.
I want to thank you. One can say maybe some strides have been made, but to be fair to those who are there now, nothing game changing. So we probably underestimate some part of Nigeria has improved. Some parts don't have light. I think I have some significant improvement in light in my area here in Abuja, where I stay. But I know that people in my village, for the past 2 years, they have light, they don't have light, they have lines, they have transformer. So in Abuja, people complain that they have. So basically, to be honest, I don't think we've made any sustained significant movement forward in a significant sense. We've moved forward, come back, come down, move, climb up, come down, get something better. Maybe we have increased the amount of power that the TCN can carry, maybe from maybe arguably from 600 megawatts if they are fully in their full capacity,
right,
to maybe 7,000, 8,000. Some people can say that generation has got a capacity for up to 9,000 if they have gas. So there's so many if. In terms of the supply, before I left, we hit 4,000 at a point, which was momentarily. Then we went back to 3 point, went back to 2. Now probably we are around 3,000 to 4,000 at the same spot. So not much change, but some movement forward.
Movement has been insignificant. You know, last week we had discussions with a number of experts in the field, and they're trying to find where the gap is. And the gap is huge for a country of Nigeria's population size, over 200 million by the United Nations standard. We should have 1,000 megawatts per million people, and we're not anywhere close to that. Does it frustrate you that when we should be having a quantum leap in terms of where power should be, it hasn't happened in that way?
Yeah, what surprised me is distressing to everybody. Don't forget,
right,
with any power, we had our first source of electricity, grid electricity, as early as 1890-something, and 1896, and about 27 or 25 megawatts Ijora. And then it was said that it was about 15 years or 12 years behind England.
Right.
So from then till 2001, we started the reform in England.
Right.
We didn't have up to 6,000 potential capacity, and not up more than 2,000 on the grid daily supply. So what I mean is that over the years, we didn't build the capacity. And so this energy deficit, you pointed out,
right,
at 220 or so million people dealing with at most 6,000 megawatts available, capable of being, at best case, to the grid, is not a surprising development. It's distressing, it's troubling and difficult to reverse. but clearly not surprising. If you look at three decades or more, let's even say from 1960,
right,
we've not done significant investment in infrastructure. We've not, many countries like India, we're having like an average of 2,000, 5,000 every 2 years. You keep adding because you're going to control for urbanization. We become more of a middle class economy. We have mortgages. So basically, you have increased demand, much of urbanization and economic. Keep on needing more power, and they have less to supply. So it's not surprising, but distressing.
You talk about the power reforms that have happened, especially the one that happened when former President Goodluck Jonathan was in office, and you were with the Electricity Regulatory Commission during that period. There was so much hope and optimism that this be the bedrock on where private sector investment can come into the country's power sector and happen in a way where we can bring in and attract the much needed investment. But it hasn't happened that way, unfortunately, Dr. Madi. In fact, spectacularly, they're seeking to even divest from those power companies or the private sector-led investment in power infrastructure. What would you say happened?
I think people have different views. Some people would think, first is basically it calls to question some of the assumptions of the reform. And too much reliance maybe on the private sector. The private sector is wonderful, could be harnessed, but the point is harnessing. And again, most of the work has been done by the public sector. For example, if you had done systemic reform, competition and commercialization, at this time now, we would have got this entity working in a way that we can then give to the private sector. So one question could be that there are certain overassumptions in the model, there are certain fundamentals we didn't take care of. For example, we started regulation almost at the same time we were trying to unbundle, and commercialize. They have a time to build up capacity and competence in that area.
Right.
People also argue that there are too many risks that need to be socialized. So let the government gets in, borrow money smartly, and invest smartly, and solve those problems so that the private sector would have easy landing. Because they now deal with expansion, deal with recovery of capacity. But really, so that boils down to, should we have done what we did? And that things we should have done complementary to privatizing, we did it well. So I think that by the time we left, yes, the private sector is playing the role, but they don't have the resources and the capacity to play because for three reasons. One, they don't have that money themselves. Two, they probably are over-leveraged. They can't access funding that easily. And if you want to unlock this sector and raise tariff as you ought to with the economic crisis on ground and pull government all out as a whole thing, then you're going to have a greater crisis. So first thing is, look, you can't raise the level of tariff you want at the same time at this level. At the same time, losses, and those losses will not enable the discos or the directors to fix some of the things that maybe government could have fixed and relieved them, but then they can now expand and focus on change management. So I think it requires some co-headed review of the process.
Right.
Where we made a mistake, we did. Where we assumed too much, we correct it. And then we look forward to it. So basically, I think, yes, we've not got it to that result, but it's partly wrong modeling, partly faulty project management, and partly the weakness of the discourse and private sector who have come into the market.
In case you just joined the conversation, 99.3 Nigeria Info, we're still second part of a special series on the Wole Soyinka Center for Investigative Journalism, Remo Public Square Special. And we have with us distinguished Dr. Sam Amadi, to be the chairman of the Nigerian Electricity Regulatory Commission. We're supposed to have the special advisor president on electricity, but he says he will join us in subsequent editions to explain to us also to, from this government's point of view, just what exactly they are doing and what isn't going right. When I listen to you, Dr. Madi, you seem to suggest that if you had a plate and you had the private sector on one half of the plate and the public sector on the other half of the plate, the public sector, which represents the government, hasn't done enough to merit the investment that should come from the private sector, which a lot of people have argued that at Nigeria's, at where Nigeria is in terms of the power generation distribution, it is too, and transmission, it is too risky to tell the government to hands off the power sector.
Yes, I agree. I mean, you shouldn't really take government to hands off.
Mm.
That's part of the error we're talking about.
Mm.
Because government can't hands off. You see, when the risks are too many, and this is a sector that has been in public ownership, and this is a market that's not even developed. You see, people talk about the private sector.
Right.
The private sector in Asia, elsewhere, we are created, nurtured by the state. And that's my economic view is that the state plays much more than a regulatory role.
Mm.
State should play even transactional role. State should be the one who basically with smart nudging, what you call nudging, pulling the private sector, set them up how they should play, help them to play that role well, redefine risk, and sometimes take off some of the risk that the private sector cannot carry.
Mm.
The private sector is not the overall designer of the sector. So they're going to look at it's plug and play. They look at where they can be profitable.
Right.
And they play. So they may not have a commitment to really transform this sector because they're not thinking from that strategic perspective.
Hmm.
They're looking where they can be profitable, and in being profitable, if the state can make them more efficient, they won't mind.
Hmm.
But if they can be profitable without being efficient, they will do so. So that's why the regulatory role is very important. Your mere regulation as just fixing the market and determining prices, I'm saying that the government should play a key role in choosing who enters the market, play a key role in helping whoever enters the market be strong enough, access capital. And sometimes themselves, access the capital themselves to do some things that the private sector may not do well. Take, for example, metering, by the way.
Right.
A crisis. So if you say, okay, let's use the normal regulatory framework, which is you pay a tariff and the discos the tariff proceed to procure meter and rule out as they want, it's not going to work. That's why the federal government now says, you know what, we're going to come to this business, we provide it with credits, we roll out meters for the citizens, and then you repay us maybe in a short interest with a long span. That is one way the public sector is shaping private sector intervention. And I'm saying that they should do more, not just money, even actions, even, you know, transactions, not just, you know, providing money. In fact, the easiest and the lazy one, and the one that most unprofitable is when the central bank says, we have money for you to borrow.
Right.
The easy to borrow the money, maybe in borrowing the money, nobody cares. The level of supervising and the level of facilitating action and directing them what to do. For example, the metric.
Right.
So if government provides meter, they could actually say, instead of using those meter for replacement, use those meter to expand metering.
Right.
Even though you're going to lose money from some of the bad meters, you then replace the bad meter with your own proceed gradually. Now, what's going on now because of lack of coordination is that the discos are using the publicly procured meter to replace meters to protect their revenue, but not expanding the metering, you know, scope, and therefore for undermining the prospect for increase of tariff. Because if you meter up to 80% of Nigerian consume or 70%, you can unlock the tariff in a way that people have the capacity to conserve power, to reduce their own exposure financially, you know. But if you're having 35, 40, 45% of metered customer, it's critical to talk about customer tariff, because how will those of their customers, when the tariff moves like 300% increase in one phase, how will Omita customers mitigate their rate shock?
Right.
How will they, because whether they put off all their lights in the road, they use one bulb to service the whole house, they are going to get slammed with almost the same kind of bill. So really, I am in support of saying the private sector should be invited to play a key role, but the government should invite them, and inviting the government should find territory and role in incentives, shape how they play in a more robust way. That's my
economic. And we'll see whether the Leopard can indeed change its spots. I remember a number of stakeholder meetings I covered when the Vision 2020 document came about, and the government said we put in $20 billion first phase, the private sector put $12 billion. And they'd always been complaining that, look, if the private sector saying we don't trust the government because they never follow through with their plans. And being a great planner, I think about many of those plans that have happened, whether it's the medium-term expenditure framework, the latest is the development plan for 2021 to 2025, which indeed also has the power component in it. What do you say? I mean, it's great to make plans, but if it doesn't happen, there are consequences I can imagine. You talked about population growth and urbanization worsening the problem, and then not being able to plan well. Could it get worse than it is? I cannot imagine.
Well, it could get worse. system collapse is a range. It can be total collapse, not lives. I mean, today, like I said, some people are getting good enough light, improvement to one or two places, and people say, okay, maybe those who have a tariff belt, as they say, having more, even if they're paying through their nose. So it could get worse. But the point is this. We have to, you know, kind of, yes, sometimes government make commitment they don't pay. That's the problem with government. And that's why the notion that we can reform governance by privatizing and outsourcing to private sector and leave government to remain an inefficient, numerous, you know, entity, it's a false one. It doesn't make sense, because sooner or later, the unreformed public sector will destroy the reformed or so-called efficient private sector. So if you have a government that is not, a public sector that is not accountable, that does planning that seriousness, that makes money to funding to projects and don't meet up those requirements, then even if you outsource everything to private sector and bring the best of best in class private firms, sooner or later the public sector inefficiency will crowd out and subsume basically the private sector efficiency they are bringing. So I am an advocate that the most important thing is public sector reform. You have to fix government so that they have a level of coherence, a degree of commitment and clarity as what they want, and effectiveness in delivery, so that the private sector now comes in, so that the government will not choke them out or even force them to become inefficient and you know, maybe corrupt and unprofitable. So yes, the private sector may complain that government doesn't play their role, but you need government. One thing, you can't outsource government.
Right.
So if you don't fix your government, the government will ruin the private sector. You are important, the best in class.
Right.
You are important for the future.
Right. And we do share the view here that, I mean, there are fine examples of how state-owned companies worldwide have done very well. I mean, Nigeria should not be the exception every time we say government has no business running business. But Dr. Amadi, you talk about efficiency. Last week when we had this conversation, a lot of callers, even them who sent messages online, they seemed to suggest that the inefficiency in the power sector chain has happened because of a centralized system. And they did think if you have the different levers, which has already happened with distribution, generation and transmission, you probably will have a fairer result. What are your thoughts?
I think I agree that the over-centralization has impact on inefficiency. I mean, basically, let's not forget, the unbundling was an attempt to deal with concentration. And say you unbundled it so that it's easier to manage, you target interventions and manage them in that sense.
Right.
But we're also learning that if you don't develop high quality coordination skills, unbundling can lead to greater inefficiency. So we see in the power sector, for example, they unbundled transmission and generation, and now they're incoherent. They can't hear themselves. They can't, they're not having good handshake. So the original power sector was designed to be a bundled vertical integrated operation. So the same power, personal generated power, sales power, transmit power. But over the years, you know, changes in technology, changes in business model led to rethinking, and then we're now basically all over the world thinking about vertical unbundling. So that's why we now have different companies. But what that requires is greater coherence in coordination. So the question then is, yes, we need to even regionalize the grid. People have said so. And then technology is shifting towards small modular generator plant. It was small and modular. So what are there for embedded generation? We're talking about island operations. We're talking about off-grids and mini-grids networks across the world. Those things rely on high coordination, both technologically and the human resource manner. So I almost thought of regionalizing, you know, localizing the grid as long as we're not going to be localizing and generalizing gross inefficiency. Anyhow you count it, you need to improve the human skills, you need to improve the technology intelligence that be behind power generation. So decentralization will not help us to maybe better enhance the efficiencies by localizing and then localizing problems as well.
You know, Dr. Madi, two things you talk about, which I'll get to one before the other. You know the maxim that says, comet the man, comet the hour. President Buhari's first tenure as a civilian president, he had appointed a super minister. One was Rotimi Amaechi, and then the other was Babatunde Fashola, who had to handle works and housing together with power. And some interesting thing he said before we go into whether a matter of conjecture, whether he succeeded in power or not, we leave that to the jury to decide. But you know, he said if he had his way, he'll scrap the entire reform process and start from the beginning. But he said, I don't have enough time to do that. So we'll see how this works. You think that was a frank and honest slip in a time of when he really looked at the mess the country's power sector was?
I think it's an ignorant and maybe arrogant submission because it does not, all the people who made the greatest changes in the world, whether it's China or East Asia, they never scrapped anything. The solution to the most efficient reforms are revisions. Reform means something exists, you change them. So the notion that disruptions and recreations are the answer to our problems is ignorant totally. What you need to do is see what exists, audit why it's not working.
Right.
The problem I see is that oftentimes we don't pay too much attention as to why things are not working. When we're there, we say, they were political, this is, but the 2 hours we finished our tenure. They should have returned maybe one or two, three people out of our team. Maybe people like us who are heads should go. They keep telling you, continue. Knowing that reform successes are iterative. You build on success and audit and avoid failures, adapting. So you keep adapting. When people come to, and that's the big problem with political talk. People come in with no rigor and they don't even know the problem. They basically speak grammar, especially when it's political. They throw it what you call hot potato. If PDP wins tomorrow, they're gonna say APC messed up the power sector. APC won in 2014, they won in 2014, they say, PDP, in 6 months we'll fix it. You can't fix it if you can't understand. So I think that what we should be dealing now is really to see this reform, what component of this reform needs to stay, and what component of this reform needs to leave, needs to be young dad. What are first the conceptual framework we adopted? Oftentimes, those conceptual framework are faulty. Some part of them, for example, reliance on private sector. Globally, private sector is not as no magic. Private sector is the right way to help you solve problems, whether of financing or technology. But if you are not capable of defining what you want and capable of understanding what is realistically available, what level of financial contribution can really come going by today's global financial market. What level of technology can you reasonably expect? So if you have that kind of diagnostics and that kind of, real world prediction, right, not driven by, then you will know the gaps you're going to fill. So, you ask me,
right,
the broad framework of the reform is fine.
Right, right.
What is wrong is some of the fundamentalist presupposition about private sector. Just sell it.
Right.
Take out this. I believe that the only answer to sustainable development is a reformed state at the driver's seat of economic policy, whether it's of power infrastructure, oil and gas, or
good.
A reformed, intelligent, smart state will drive a good private sector to deliver its presumed efficiency.
Right. How time flies when you're having a great discussion. I was joking with Dr. Madi that when we start to talk, you wouldn't realize how time is flying. And the people who want to call in, I see that a lot of people are trying to call. But I think I would side more with the people who send messages on WhatsApp. You've got a question for Dr. Sam Amadi, former chair of the Nigeria Electricity Regulatory Commission. The number to send messages, 0809-597-5805. Again, 0809-597-5805. Challenges of power infrastructure. We're looking at many of those things. Dr. Madi, you talked about inefficiency and then linking the different levels. On public square, we do a lot of layering and then looking at where the dots connect, especially interministerial. You mentioned oil and gas. You mentioned power. You know, ironically, had an interview some time back when Dr. Ebe Kachukwu, the Minister of State for Power, then for petroleum, had come on board, and then he said that they were going to do an audit to find out this volume of liters which is being imported in the country, why does it keep spiking? And then he found something interesting, that it was tied to the use of generators. Most of the fuel being brought into the country was being used to run generators. And he knew that if you don't fix the power, so he had a lot of meetings with Babatunde Rajifashola to see if the power can improve. Maybe, just maybe, you can have a significant drop in the importation of fuel. I know you're also a great student of international politics. Yesterday we were talking briefly about the U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, who's on a three-nation tour for Africa. You know that the president was at a climate change summit and made some interesting suggestions about where we should be headed in the future. But yet, I dare say we use over 100 million, if not more. I think my math is wrong in this one. Maybe closer to 150 million power generators in this country. Do you think we know where we are headed to, especially with leadership and policy direction in looking towards a nation that is dependent less on fossil fuel?
Well, I think we know where we want to head to, but I'm not sure we know how to head there. Or I'm not sure we seriously want to head there. So we know that we want to head to a place where probably we have energy sufficiency, but I don't think we probably know how to get there, or we're even seriously making effort to get there. So, yes, you talk about the generator. When I was in Nigeria, I used to say, oh, there was a generator cabal. I said, there's no cabal. The generator people are filling a gap. They just responded to business stimulus.
Thank you very
much. So what they are doing is that the people, I'm sitting here now, but I told you for the past 2 years or 1 year now, my plate has no light, all kinds of story. So I'm not even thinking upon myself to write a letter to the chairman of EDC, follow it up. But then I told myself, I need to buy a generator. I don't want to buy all this fuel world because of fear. So I'm making today, I have to transfer money for somebody to install a generator in my village house. So that's where we are. Now, did any cabal speak to me? Did anybody pressure me? The fact that my children say, at least in Abuja, we see light, we have generator, take light. So that's the point where we are now, that we should now remove all this political talk, all this kind of conspiracy.
Good.
And focus on the fact that, look, we've not done enough to have power. We've not done enough in terms of the political policies and the information and consistent implementation.
Right.
So if we do better, if we set up better policies, if we put more rigor in thinking about the way Asian countries do, without their experts, and take out politics from it, look at all the agencies that hold power,
right.
and put people who are dedicated, who also are not corrupt,
yeah.
like we are, we are NEC, we are dedicated.
Right.
We don't have done everything. Nobody has accused us of zero corruption, even
right.
one.
Right.
Get people like that in all the places, and then you reinforce them with expertise and
right.
support.
Right.
Maybe, look, a nation is not born in a day. Maybe in the next 4 or 5 years,
right.
we'll get over this. But if we keep, you know, bringing politics
right.
and rhetoric around them, changing policy swiftly and not getting the right policy to fit into the... So basically, we'll end up in the next talking about cabal. People tell me, are you sure there's no demon? I think one minister says demons are there. there are no demons. People say cabals. They're walking hand in hand.
In fact, Dr. Mali, now that you talk of this one, I have a message on WhatsApp, which I was going to just look at a number of questions. But this is Charles. And he says, I have questions for Dr. Sam Amadi. He says that Nigerian problems, is it beyond solution? Power, is it beyond solution? I can skip that one. And then he goes, GenCo and DISCOs, which is Nigeria's major problem? Let me skip the question where he says, can this be political or spiritual? You've addressed this. And then he says, having been there before, what would you do differently if you were asked to change this, what he calls insurmountable problem? So I can pick the GenCo and DISCO, which is Nigeria's major problem. And then if you were asked to take up the mantle, what you would do differently?
Okay, GenCo and DISCO, which is Nigeria's problem, they fight among themselves. This one says, we can generate 8,000 megawatts. You can't carry. This one says, we can carry. You don't generate it well, or we don't have all kinds of story. No. See, they're all our problems, but primarily,
right.
this is where it is.
Good.
We have more power generated, or we can generate more power if the DISCOs can take more power. The DISCOs can take more power. Also, if the TCN can drop the power where they say they want it, but they don't have the capacity to pick it somewhere else because they don't have good network to help them.
Right.
And all this also depends on gas, availability of gas, which is improving. Now, So the point is, let's not focus on one value chain.
Good.
Let's look at the whole value chain approach. Let's look at the fact that risks are spread across the value chain. And we need to create a seamless, coherent whole in order to improve power. Now, back to the question of what I would do. Well, and that's the reason why those who design systems require regulators to spend longer period. Because you see, regulation is a knowledge management process. You predict, you review a situation.
Right.
And then you predict how actors will behave. That's what we call the social science of
right.
of behavioral economics, decisional right. science and all.
Right.
You know, so if we do this intervention, this is what it's called. Sometimes even the biggest regulators in the world,
good.
People like Khan, who did US aviation reform, they made mistakes. They admit that because it's an art on the science, because
right.
it's based on applying methodology to facts.
Right.
You may get tens of, if I'm going back, if I have to be in government, in any related to power, my focus would now be to draft three things. One is you have to get the operators. Like we started it, we used to have our weekly or bi-weekly industry review meetings to know the problems they have and start hands-on solving of those problems. Don't use the template of advanced markets where automation and coordination is very good. Deal with them as if you want to call idiots, hold their hands and walk them through. Monitor closely so that if you're able in the short to medium term to remove all those inefficiencies, then you think a long term how to expand with more technology, better management model. But for now,
right.
let's optimize capability. Number two thing you have to do
right.
is that the consumer end has to be improved. And that's why we train. I would propose meter to be a public policy. Government just close your eyes, borrow money, meter customers, and then let the tariff go up as ought to go. Then we take fully metered based on government program. The government will find a way to reclaim that money over time. So you can see metering as both a public service, a way of helping with reducing bills, especially with economic crisis now choking many people,
good.
And a way of energy. And again, thirdly, we might now develop an industry indicator to unbundle discourse. This is now time to look at which of the discos can perform. Do a peer review process. Don't go and say, like, cancel license. Look, a peer review process. So that those who have shown incapacity with all the support to really serve the customers well, will find a way to take them out of the market through diluting corporate ownerships. So we bring institutional investors who come in and provide backup, financial and technical support, so that each disco will be able to be effectively managing the network. And down the line, you'll now unbundle them. So we'll have, like Abuja, people can buy power from different power sellers, even if it's one distribution network that's carrying the power. So we'll have like choice, because that's the essence of competition. When you have choice, then you incentivize with that. Private sector, private electricity market cannot work without competition. Because once you privatize, and you're still having a private monopoly, you are actually closer to more inefficiency than even when you have public monopoly. Because public monopoly may be amenable to politics, to policies, to people's opinion. A private monopoly may not be amenable because it has no political accountability. So the only way you can control it is to simulate competition.
Right.
Otherwise, you likely have a compounding inefficiency.
Right. I think we, a travesty, Dr. Samamadi, if I don't let you hear the Lagos callers tell us what they think about the discussion today before we let you go. But you've been most gracious to us. The number to call quickly, 0700-993-993-993. Again, 0700-993-993-993. We have with us Dr. Samamadi, former chairman, the Nigerian Electricity Regulatory Commission. And we're looking at the question around power infrastructure. If you're female, you can get access to us on 01465-7190. Again, 01465-7190. A message from Birmingham in Alabama. Tony says that, if Nigeria fails to dismantle the excessive concentration of everything in the no amount efforts can change anything positively. All right, we hear you, Tony, from Alabama. Adenero, you help me pronounce that, because what I see here, I'm sure it's different from your name. Hello, good evening. Are you there, Adenero? All right, you try call back. 0700-993-993-993. Then this one says, please tell them that Goodluck Jonathan appointed, that they lied on him because he was retrenching PHCN workers. You know, I get where you're going to. You know, it's amazing. I know a particular man who worked with the PHCN who was told, your job is over. And then the following week, he was employed. And I asked, so why was he let go in the first instance? But let's speak with Rotimi calling in from Lekki. Hello, Rotimi, and good evening. Great to have you join us, Rotimi.
Yes, thank you.
Excellent.
Now, I must say I enjoyed Dr. Amadi's, you know, the conversation with him.
Right.
And I, in fairness to him, he seems to have a very clear understanding of the problem. But my take in simple thing is that we probably need to work on good governance more. Because it seems to me, from his analysis, if you don't fix good governance, expecting power may be a very tall order. That's what I would just say in summary. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Rotimi from Lekki. Paul from Amoa Dolphin says the first time caller. Great to have you join us, Paul.
Hello.
Hello, Paul. Okay. We can hear you. Please, go ahead.
Please, people like Dr. Amadi, they are only good on theory and not on practical. They don't have anything to hope on Nigeria. They should rethink and put Nigeria on the track. We all need power to survive.
All right.
We are saying the economy of this country is bad, It's because of those people who don't have anything to...
All right, thank you very much, Paul. And with all sense of responsibility, Dr. Amadi, if you know him and the work he does, you probably will have a rethink on your opinion.
That's his view.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, if you think about the power mix when Goodluck Jonathan was there, I mean, it was such a great idea, but unfortunately, people like Professor Batnagy never had the chance to, they say, finish what they started. All right, back to WhatsApp very quickly, and then we'll have one more question for Dr. Amadi before he gets back. I know he has a very busy schedule. Kele from Bariga says, what is stopping state governments from generating, transmitting, and distributing power to its citizens? Is asking Dr. Amadi an interesting question.
Yeah. Well, very simple. I think the states are involved. Really, people already think that there's a law stopping them. When I was there, I licensed Lagos State, not to be fashion, I did a great job. There's more than 3 licenses to Lagos State. The Lagos, I think, now kind of fits itself. The secretariat, the general hospital, all that are off-grid.
Good.
So we license them. The states can as well also play in the DISCO area by working with the DISCOs. What they don't have is they don't have the power now to just set up their own DISCO and run their own DISCO. Maybe we should get that to that point. So nothing stops the state. Rivers built a power plant, which they finally sold back. Machin sold it back to the guys who run it now. They bought that Rivers power plant. They had a power plant of about over, if I'm not mistaken, close to 200 or something megawatts. Edo worked together. Edo worked together with the one in Edo State, a private sector firm which will license 500 megawatts. Edo supported. So the states have can generate their own power. Akwa Ibom, one power is, I think, about 400 or so megawatts, which were there. So states have the capacity to generate power and then work with the DISCOs. But I think maybe in constitutional reform, we might look at maybe, like I said, regionalizing the grid in a way, giving states more rights, even in distribution and even in regulation, so that some customer services can be done at the state level, like in the US. So states can set up customer logistics regulators whose job might not be to fix prices, but to regulate customer care. And that's a more efficient way to do with customer, because the federalizing of customer care might not be that much. Right. For example, in Morocco, a Lagos electricity consumer protection, the Great American Republic, Public Service Commission can monitor that and regulate that level of participation.
Absolutely. And I see lines buzzing and everything buzzing, but you know how a good meal is, Dr. Amadi. You'd have to leave it so you don't empty the plate and ask for more. Thank you very much. But before we let you go, Dr. Sam Amadi, we'd love to get your closing thoughts. I mean, the millions of people who tune into us, watching online also too. We like to say it's a rolling conversation, but I'm sure you have your closing thoughts on this subject.
Well, my closing thought is, look, like I said, the truth about the matter is that we should not vilify anybody in the sector. We should, because that we need to do a lot of hard work. Maybe we've not worked as hard. And by the way, if you look at African countries, they have not got it right like we've done. Few of them ever got it right. So power development is a difficult task. Whether it's education, healthcare, telecommunication, power, where have we done excellently well? The reason why power is obvious or corporate is because power is central to our life. So I want to urge Nigerians to realize that, look, we have a development failure that is holistic. We need to think through the process and begin to recreate one by one the foundations of a developed socioeconomy. And that includes power.
That includes power. Thank you very much. And we touch base with you again. Always a pleasure speaking with Dr. Sam Amadi, who is a former chair Nigeria Electricity Regulatory Commission. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
All right. So we're going to go on a quick break. We come back. Ruthby Sankore joins the conversation. And it's a big show we have. Yes, last week we began the discussions. And this week we continue power, infrastructure, challenges. And we've just spoken with Dr. Sam Amadi, who is the former chair of Nigeria Electricity Regulatory Commission. All of you send messages on WhatsApp. We'll get to them. And hopefully Ruthby can also help address some of the questions that Dr. Amadi will not be able to answer. It's 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Public Square.
Welcome back. It's 6 minutes to five, and a very, very interesting week we've had. And today also, too, we continue the discussions in Public Square. 99.3 Nigeria Info, your number one talk news and sports station. I'm Awo Obo and Rotimi Sankore, data and development expert, as well as host of Public Square, joins the discussion straight away. Rotimi.
Yeah, hello.
Great. And interesting discussions we're having, continuing from where we stopped last week.
Yes, we must thank our partners again, the Wolesho Inca Center for investigative journalism, for kindly partnering on this really absolutely most important subject to all Nigerians, whether personal or economic. I think until this matter is resolved, it can only be a downward slope for Nigeria.
Mm.
Almost all these problems that we are facing in Nigeria is tied to low economic development and industrialization, which in turn can be tied to low power.
Mm.
I think the first thing I would like to say from listening to the last hour of discussion is that there are no demons in the power sector. There is no... Look, the gap of 195,000 megawatts which we have now represents the extent to which the resources meant for the power sector over the last 61 years has been looted, diverted, or wasted. That's what that gap represents. That's 195,000 megawatts. That's where the resources have gone. Looted, diverted, or wasted. So there is no demon anywhere. You know, people forget, under military dictatorship, advocacy was almost impossible. Almost impossible. So all those years of military dictatorship, really, no one could articulate and say, please, oh, we need to plan power based on our population growth and the kind of economic growth we want. When I was a schoolboy, the only articulate voice that I had complaining about power was Fela. That was all. And everybody remembers those songs. Water lighty, water light. You know, that was the only articulate voice. People forget. So with every year of population growth, especially after the Civil War, with every year of population growth, when the power generation, transmission, and distribution capacity was not matching the population growth year on year, we were going into deficits. By 1999, the deficit was about 120,000 megawatts. And you see people saying incredible things, people that should know better. In fact, I'm sure the whole country will agree, with benefit of hindsight, people that had no business in the power sector.
Yeah.
Politicians claiming that if they get there, they will sort it out in 6 months. How are they going to sort out something that was not done year on year on year on year as it should have been done at that time for 55 years? How are they going to sort it out in 6 months? So that's all that gap represents. Let me repeat, the 195,000 megawatts gap represents the extent to which the resources meant for the power sector that were budgeted, even if the budget was not enough, that were budgeted every year, especially since 1970. That is what that gap represents: looted, wasted, or diverted resources. So there is no demon anywhere.
Absolutely, now, no demon. So, Rotimi, before we go further, because we have to go on the break now, just before the headline news, We can continue from there right after the headline news on 99.3 Nigeria Info. It's still our special series. We're looking at power infrastructure. Please stay with us. Don't go anywhere. Let's talk.
Let me tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
Youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To the extent of this disbursement, if Parliament does not raise this money.
And controversial.
If driving through the roads is a getting the macabre down. Capability is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Arogo Obo at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
Well, welcome back. It's 2 minutes past five, and I know many of you are headed home from the island into the mainland into the island. Just drive safely, fasten the seatbelt, and prepare for the ride of your life on the Public Square. At some point during the hour, we will open the phone lines to get your, I like to say, 50 kobo on any of the things that have caught your interest, especially around power infrastructure. Before we went on the break, we began with the former chairman of the Nigeria Electricity Regulatory Commission, Dr. Sam Amadi, who did talk about a number of things with generation, distribution and transmission, basically looking at many of the problems affecting the country's power infrastructure. Don't forget to join us on social media at Public Square, NG at Nigeria Info FM, at Awogo Obo, at Rotimi Sankore, any of these handles on social media. We will connect with you. And then on WhatsApp, it's 0809-597-5805. Again, 0809-597-5805. You send us messages and we will also connect with you on this one. So Rotimi is still here and we are still here with you in the square. So Rotimi, before we left off, you were on a trajectory.
Yes, Ahoho. So let me try and be sequential.
Right.
So that we can cover as many points as possible before the ad break. So we are discussing today generation, transmission, and distribution.
Mm.
And the first thing that we need to take in as a country is that we are in the mess we are now because the generation, transmission, and distribution infrastructure was not being developed year on year to keep up, one, with population growth, two, with economic trajectory.
Mm.
So for the years that our population was growing by 200,000, 300,000, 400,000, and so forth, the power infrastructure should have been growing according to that capacity of 200 megawatts a year, 400 megawatts a year, and so forth.
Mm.
Now our population is growing every year by roughly 7.6 million a year. So we are now playing catch up at the time when it should have been done incrementally.
Mm.
200, 400, 500, even 1,000 megawatts a year to have been added like that. It wasn't done. So we are now doing catch-up. That's why we are in this deficit of 195,000 megawatts. Now, even with the deficit, the power mix is not being addressed. So we are in a country that is a gas-producing country that flares gas and is complaining about power shortage. It's just incredible.
Mm.
It's incredible. I mean, when we were in primary or secondary school, this is what they call a caning offense. You need the gas to generate power and then you are setting it on fire.
All right. Mm.
We are discussing climate change now, the environmental impact on all those communities is going to be, you know, felt for hundreds of years to come.
Mm.
We have sunlight every day. We don't have winter.
Mm.
A country like Germany They are in winter now, November to February, March. Those countries are generating from renewable energy, sun and wind, up to 40,000 megawatts a year.
Mm.
What is the issue here? Why can't we build the solar panels in Nigeria?
Mm.
Why can't we construct the batteries needed for the solar power in Nigeria?
Mm.
Why can't we do technology transfer? Why? You will see our primary health center, no light. Hospital, no light. They are only just talking on solar for National Assembly. Now, some time ago, I was making a presentation inside the National Assembly.
Right.
African parliamentarians gathered from across Africa to discuss sustainable development. I was making a presentation shared by the Speaker of the Ghanaian Parliament. In that 30-minute period, the light went off four times. Mm. By the fourth time, the guy just sat back in his chair and folded his hand and said, Niger, giant of Africa. And everybody started laughing inside the National Assembly.
Oh,
it's only in the current budget now, they are talking of solar.
Mm.
Something that could have been done over the last 10, 15, 20 years as the solar technology was picking up.
Mm-hmm.
We have access to wind power. There are countries that are generating up to 30, 50, 60,000 megawatts from wind. The infrastructure is not even there.
Mm.
So if we are flaring gas, we are not harnessing solar, and hydro is not being maximized,
mm.
how are we going to get that 195,000 megawatts? Where is the policy document guiding the investment and budget year on year? It is not there. Sam Ahmadi mentioned about the decentralization.
Right.
Are the states stepping up? No. There is even the problem of the cap on private generation.
Mm.
So in South Africa in June this year, because they have power problem in South Africa, they have over 50,000 megawatts power in South Africa, and they still have power problem.
Mm.
So you can see how backward Nigeria is.
Mm.
We are at 5,000. They are at roughly 50,000 megawatts.
Mm.
They have power problem. The president in June this year raised the cap on private power generation from 1 megawatt to 100 megawatts to bridge the problem.
Right.
So that factories, small communities, or whatever, they can use solar, they can use anything to get up to that 100 megawatts.
Right.
Are we looking at that here? No. So, I mean, in summary, these are the key issues with the generation. Now, if you look at the transmission,
good.
The main problem is it can be summarized in one sentence.
Mm.
We are one of the few federal countries in the world with one centralized grid. And to top it, that grid was not strengthened year on year on year on year for the past 61 years as the population was growing.
Mm.
It's still that same old grid. So obviously, if you have a grid that was built for 3,000 or 4,000 megawatts,
right,
and you now have a generation capacity of 13,000, anything and you just cross it to 5,000 or thereabout, the grid will give way.
Which is what is happening.
I mean, it's a simple problem that any engineering student should be able to understand.
Mm-hmm.
So if it is too expensive to then build a national grid from scratch for 195,000 megawatts,
right,
is it not reasonable to assume that task will then be to the state to say, okay, we decentralize the grid?
Mm.
Because as Sam was saying, if the states can generate, transmit within the state,
right,
and distribute and charge, that is, it is a state-based platform.
Right.
It may include private companies, but it's a state-based platform. If all the 36 states are able to do that, and even the smaller states are doing 1,000 megawatts. In fact, if all the states are doing 1,000 megawatts, that is 36,000 already.
Mm.
If Lagos is doing 20,000, which is what it should be doing, then that is 20,000 plus 35,000 megawatts, which will be 55,000. We should be at 195,000. If we have 55,000 megawatts today, the Nigerian economy will quintuple in size. So unless that transmission deadlock is broken, whereby you have one transmission company of Nigeria sitting on ancient grid infrastructure. I know that's what they brought Siemens in to come and do, that deal to fix substations and things like that. But of course, you have other problems, which I mentioned last week, which is the human capacity. Because if we are importing all these things, then it is not viable. If we cannot manufacture the components in Nigeria, it is not viable. So what is the work being done with our higher institutions to ensure that the engineers are trained, the technicians are trained, that the factories are built in Nigeria to fabricate and manufacture these components? Unless that is done, the problems are going to get bigger. Especially for transmission, because that really is the bad. You can generate everything you want. If you can't transmit it, you are wasting time. So that is that for transmission.
Right.
As for the distribution,
good,
just to summarize very quickly there, I mean, the simple point is, if you have this crazy scenario in which you are only able to meter a fraction of your users, then all this talk about tariff and everything does not make sense. In fact, there was a report published with the support of the World Energy Income Center, which demonstrated very clearly that the tariff is based on a fraudulent measurement. Because what it says is, if you are in band A, you are guaranteed power for a certain time. If you are in band B, you are guaranteed for a certain time. So, like 12 hours or more, 10 hours or more, 8 hours or more. If the country is on 5,000 megawatts,
right,
when it should be at 195,000, and sometimes when the grid collapses, it drops to zero, but in between is at an average of 3,000 to 4,000 megawatts,
right,
how can you meet that tariff pledge? So the people are paying for it, but they are not getting it. Because if you need to be able to distribute power to the point of at least 100,000 megawatts or more, at a very minimum, you should be at 195,000 megawatts.
Right.
And you are using 3,000 or 4,000 megawatts to promise people light of 18 hours and they pay. It shows that the energy literacy in Nigeria is so low, to the point that people don't understand when something is scientifically impossible. You know, it's like somebody carrying a bucket of water and saying that they are going to supply 10,000 people one bottle of water each. And you'll be looking at the person and say, my goodness, even Jesus Christ could not multiply loaves of bread like that. How can you turn one bucket of water into 10,000 bottles of water? So the energy literacy is so low that the policy, like I said, this is a report researched and published with the support of the World Energy Center for Investigative Journalism,
right,
that demonstrated that even the tariff thing is not viable. So some people say willing buyer, willing seller. So if everybody is able to pay what they want, what then happens? So, I mean, essentially, this is the summary of the generation, transmission, and distribution conundrum which we are facing. And unless all these things are sorted, and especially the human capacity, I always say, if an alien race comes from Jupiter today and says, This is all the infrastructure you need, the correct power mix for the 200,000 megawatts. We will not have enough engineers and technicians. Within 3 months, it will collapse.
Mm.
So on the one hand, the government is saying that if everything they are doing, all their investment comes together, by 2025, they will be over 20,000 megawatts. Mm. We don't even have the human capacity to service it. Mm-hmm. And they are not paying attention to it.
Mm.
Mm. Are they working with the universities and the polytechnics to make sure we have that human capacity? No.
Mm. Mm.
So, I mean, there is a lot. And at the center of this is the Ministry of Planning. The Ministry of Planning is not planning.
Has to know. Every single profession you go and you ask the question, what's happening in terms of planning for the future, you're met with, even if you put out a notice for employment, you won't see anyone coming because they're not there, unfortunately. But we still have a couple of minutes before we head to the break, Rotimi, and I guess some other unfinished business. Remember, you can send us messages on WhatsApp, 0809-597-5805. Again, 0809-597-5805. You got questions. We'd also love to hear from you on what to make of the country's power infrastructure. We do hope we're adding to your literacy about the power situation we face in the country, looking at the three major areas: power, distribution, and transmission. Just before we go into other things, I think I do like some point Sam Amadi did make about the role of the government in financing also to the power system, saying that they haven't come halfway. How much more point fingers at the private sector of not doing their own parts?
Well, because it's more or less the same political elite that has been in power. I mean, don't forget, there are people in this government that were in military regime in 1974.
Hmm.
There are people in this government that were military governors in 1974, that were commissioners or ministers in 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83.
More than 40 years
they've
ago.
They've just added a few people because the government has to expand. If not, it would have been the same people that were there in 74 still, because they haven't let go. Now, essentially, they will have to find a way to deflect the problem from themselves. Because for decades, they did not do what they should have done. So sometimes they will say, oh, you see, the thing is to privatize it, so that then you will see some members of the public, very gullible, saying, yes, it should be sold, it should be privatized. See, when they did it with telecom, immediately the phone started working. Well, you cannot put a diesel generator in your pocket. it's not possible. You can put a phone in your pocket. Yeah. The network will transmit through the air. You can't put a diesel generator in your pocket. It's not possible. And like I was saying on the previous program, that model, the assumption is also wrong, because in countries like Singapore, where they have an investment platform, majority owned by the government, but the legislation says that it is independently run. So there is no nepotism, no quota system, no nothing. The Singapore power, look, there are 6 million people in Singapore. They have 12,000 megawatts of power. There are power companies like NEPA. Their Singapore airline is like Nigeria Airways. Every year, for the last since when I can remember, it has been in the top three of the world. Their Singapore telecom is like Nitel. And so forth like that. But it is because the people running it are the best trained in Singapore, or they bring them from other parts of the world. Plus, the ideological orientation of the party in power is at least good enough to ensure that the infrastructure plan is people-oriented. So, I mean, this automatic assumption that anything government does not work applies to Nigeria, because anything government government appoints largely incompetent people based on man, no man, that have no business in the place. The immediate past power minister, the things he has been, he said, gave me nightmares. The current one came in and said, let him first tell everybody that he's not a magician. So nobody should expect anything magical. Who said he's a magician? If he was a magician, he would be in the circus. Not in government.
Right.
I mean, the current one, if you call that guy now, ask him and say, Lagos, how many megawatts does Lagos need? He probably can't tell you. If you go to any country with a proper power plant, they can tell you, local government by local government, how much power each local government needs.
Right.
Industrial sector by industrial sector. They can see the map on the wall saying this is how much power all these sectors need. So they plan it.
Right, absolutely.
The grid system is then set up to be able to meet that power need.
So, Rotimi, we're going to go on a break quickly, maybe in a minute. Maybe we'll just summarize, and then when we come back, we can open the phone lines.
Probably worth pointing out, by the way, that the states have commissioners for energy.
Interestingly, yes, they do.
I mean, I challenge people to name the commissioner of energy in their states.
It's easier to have a commissioner for generators.
I mean, there are some ministries. There are a lot of wonderful things are happening in this country. Ministry of Water Resources. Yet everybody buys pure water.
Absolutely.
And the guy is just cruising in the place.
Yeah.
Every day.
And then he kind of... All right.
Minister or Commissioner of Energy. Everybody has to power themselves. They are just cruising in the place. Look, there is a lot of... Look, if you just want to talk broadly, you can describe it as... criminal negligence. And that does not even start to describe it.
Oh dear. Let's go on a quick break. And well, not so quick, but when we come back, we'll get to the phone lines and we can speak to everyone who can get through. And we can talk some more about the country's power infrastructure. It's part two of our series. We've got one more part to go, which will come up later, not this month. But next, Marutmi will give you some update on that one. It's 99.3 Nigeria Info. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Public Square.
All right, welcome back to Public Square on 99.3 Nigeria Info. And I tell you, Shaku Maku to every one of you, because it is a day. Just stepped out and have a look at what is happening in town, but traffic. So, Rotimi Sankore is still with us. We are here still looking at power infrastructure. We're going to open the phone lines just about now. The number to call 0700-993-993-993. And then on WhatsApp, 0809-597-5805. Again, 0809-597-5805. If you're a female, 01465-7190. So we've got all of you engaged. But just before we hear, Rotimi's got some things to say before we get to the phone line. So, Rotimi.
That ad break was quite long. In fact, by the time the last... one was talking of a particular brand of noodles. I was feeling like that noodle should have been distributed to all the audience while they were waiting for us.
Oh my goodness. We're going to have to go wake them up. Wake up and rejoin the conversation.
The perils of commercial radio.
Right.
Well, two or three quick points to make just to demonstrate how bad our problem is.
Right.
People need to understand that the less industrialized any country is, the more unstable it will be. So, I mean, this is what the power situation is doing. In fact, the less industrialized any part of a country is, the more unstable it is. There are two indicators that any data set I look at, I don't even need to know the name of the country. if I see proportional to the population, the proportional to a region, the number of people that have access to education, and it is so low, I can tell you straight away, that's insecurity, banditry, extremism. If it is so low with industrialization, the same thing.
Mm.
And since power is a key factor in industrialization, it is important that the politicians understand that the less power Nigeria has, the less electricity it has, proportional to its population growth, the more unstable Nigeria will become.
Mm.
There is no amount of Tucano aircraft that is going to solve that problem.
Mm.
So that is one point to note. So while they are thinking that, you know, they can be buying aircraft and tanks and things like that, no. That is the wrong focus.
Mm.
Those things may be necessary to secure extreme cases of what, if you over-concentrate on it to the peril of education, power, and so forth, then sooner or later, the problems will overrun the country.
Mm.
The second is, people should note,
right,
in this last 1 week, Qatar was trending all over social media.
Right.
Obviously, because of the World Cup. And a lot of them must have heard me say before that Qatar is less than 3 million people, about 2.9 million.
Mm.
Roughly the same population as Alimosho local government in Lagos.
Right, right.
But Qatar has 10,000 megawatts of power, which is why such a small country is about to host the World Cup. People should note the World Cup stadiums in Qatar are air-conditioned.
Absolutely.
They are air-conditioned because Qatar is a very hot country. And the air conditioning in the stadiums was a condition for Qatar winning the World Cup bid, so that the players and the fans will not be fainting in the stadium out of a heat stroke. In fact, that World Cup is going to be held in November, December, not in June, July, August as usual. And that is because that is even the coolest time in Qatar, but it will still need air conditioning. That is what electricity can do for you.
Right.
It can swing a World Cup beat.
Right. All right, Rotimi. Absolutely. Let's go to the phone lines, Rotimi, now, because we're out of time. I see we don't have more than 6-7 minutes. But I see that Christopher Enikoyi has been holding on. So let's get to Christopher straight away. Hello, Christopher. Hey, Makushi. Great to have you join us.
Yala, yala. Sir Rotimi, good evening, sir.
Hello, good evening, sir.
Yeah. Chifobo, you are familiar with Delta? Ndokwa East and Ndokwa West. We have more than 10 gas plant stations, as I'm speaking with you. And they say they are short of gas. The super minister, when they appointed him, I said to my landlord, if not for my kids, I will ask you to disconnect me from NEPA. I know the guy will not. 6 months. He said 6 months. At the end, he spent 5 years. What did we get? Sarotimi, where is people like Bat Naji and Chidedu Nebo? Sarotimi mentioned something about our hour of doing things. Must these people be your party members? Look at all the explanations Sarotimi have been giving. Why not ask him to get some people who know what to do into that system?
All right, thank you very much. Always a pleasure hearing from you. Helen calling in from Lekki. Hello, Helen, and good evening.
Yeah, good evening.
Good to
everybody's
have you,
there.
Excellent.
Wrote to me, God bless you. I always feel revitalized when I listen to you, because you are one of the very, very few literate, educated people in Nigeria. Now, short of saying that Nigeria or the, you know, government parastatals and the civil service entirely should be recolonized. We should bring in people to, or invite people to, you know, run them and show us how to rule. I will ask, is it possible for them to be assault so that the likes of Elumelu, Jimovia, our local, you know, private sector, you know, those who have succeeded,
right,
can, you know, run them the way they should be run.
All right, Helen.
Thank you so much.
All right,
the education you are talking about, that there's no manpower.
Right.
How can, whether the universities have started training the engineers, how can they, when ASU is on strike today, tomorrow, and a child will go in for a four-year course, and only God knows when the child will graduate. So Nigeria apparently is a failed state. We need another flood.
All right, Helen. Before you start to get esoteric about flood and apocalyptic scenes,
and
it was okay.
It is worth noting, though, that ASU goes on strike because the education system is underfunded.
It's
not whether you spend 6 months. We want everybody to graduate on time.
Yeah.
With the correct amount of knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you graduate on time without the knowledge, I'm not exactly sure which is better or worse. But anyway.
Absolutely.
Do you have enough time for two or three more?
We can take one more and we'll call it today. So let's see the one who is fortunate. All right. Hello and good evening. Just let the call come. We don't have time to screen this one. Hello and good evening. Hello. All right. We'll have to go from here, Rotimi. We're out of time. So
yes, when we're able to get the MBET ED, you know, we have been writing and calling and they won't show up. The one question I wanted to ask that gentleman is, when he issued a press statement saying they were selling surplus electricity to Niger Republic, what was he thinking of? Surplus power. Where is that surplus power coming from? Selling surplus power. That was the word they used, surplus. Hey, Nigeria.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
think.
So the next power sector special is, I think, on December 17.
Good.
Yes, and in between 26th, 3rd, and 10th December, we'll be looking at some other key issues. So please join us every Friday, 4 p.m., 99.3. Thank you for spending your time with us.
Absolutely. We have a big show next week, Rotimi. I think we have enough time to just inform them.
Next week, every 26th of November, starts a global 16 days of activism to end violence against women and girls.
Right.
And we'll be looking at the broad spectrum of this violence, social, physical, and so forth, that keeps women from achieving their full potential, women and girls.
All right, excellent. So next week, let's make it a date. You can go on nigeriainfo.fm website, do the drop list, you see podcast, and you can listen to this episode of Public Square and several other episodes of Public Square in case you just join in the square. We'd love to hear you and educate you on more of the things we talk about, development and all of that. We will come back at the top of the hour for the news. And after the news, there's Sammy and Ifine with Music and Moments. Stay with us on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.